Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was our wonderful brother MC Yogi. Give love, give love, give love, keep giving love. Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago had the white supremacist rallying, lot of pomp about a lot of people coming in, and my wonderful brother Hawk Newsom from New York, president of Black Lives Matter chapter in New York, I says, Hawk, please do not buy into the energy. All your signs must be about love. Say, give respect, get respect. Can we talk? You know, God is love. Let's love one another, not hate one another. And sure enough, finally, after all these years, the media finally covers a story on the importance of love signs. I just loved it. So if we can just move the story forward, after a while, hate gets very tiring. I was on the Finding Common Ground Summer of Peace Summit a while back, and I had the fortune of interviewing Arno and Pardeep. Arno and Pardeep's story is that Arno had started three white supremacist groups. From that group, One of the young men who was in his group was the killer of Pardeep's family. Remember the shooting in the Gurudwara temple in Wisconsin around August 4th or 5th or something like this? And Pardeep ended up reaching out to Arno. They ended up becoming best friends. And now they're going on tour sharing with America. It's time to respect, love and appreciate one another. No need to fight and kill. So I think all of this energy that's pumping up, all of this vibe that's coming up, it's actually waking up the good in us. And when the evil, you know, shows its little, you know, seedy little head, it gets to a point that it's so exhausting, I can't stay there. Now, some of us are coming from really rough beginnings. For example, Sister Gita, who will be reading a poem later on, has come from pieces, orphaned at 5, abused, protected her, not being hurt by predators and stuff, jumps in the line to save her sisters from being hurt. All the stories, birthed her first child at 17. She continues to be a beautiful story, a story from broken pieces into a wholesome person. So we're going to look forward to hearing her poetry later on in the show. But let's get to our special guest. Because since January of 1990, Saida Hafiz has been experiencing the power of her yoga practice and the benefits of eating a whole foods diet. Her initial encounter with this holistic lifestyle led to a personal transformation that ultimately led her to become a yoga teacher and wellness expert with certifications from the Shivananda Yoga Vedanta Centers and also Natural Gourmet Institute. Now, as a holistic health educator at the San Francisco Unified School District, Saida focuses on sharing her knowledge of physical and mental wellness with various groups. Her new book is entitled The Healing, One Woman's Journey from Poverty to Riches. It's my pleasure to welcome Saida to the show. Hi, Saida. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me. This is really an honor to be here with you.
Oh, same here. You know, from rags to riches, I get that. My mother went through that story, and I remember growing up with her, I always felt like I was the mother taking care of her my whole life.
Yeah.
And here we are. I remember telling her I was about maybe 10 or 11, and I said, you know, we're going to grow old together. We're going to date really good-looking guys, and we're going to grow old and party together. Okay, I don't know about the dating good-looking guys, but we did end up, you know, together in service doing a lot of good. And she has been my greatest mentor and inspiration because she came from broken pieces. So share with our listeners your journey, because your book and your life is about really, well, you know, rough. And then you said, I'm not going to keep it that way. So tell us a little bit about, you know, where you've been in essence. I know it's a long book, but like just, you know, what was that turning point when you really had that moment in your life where things were not working in your favor and you just go, I got to shift this?
Well, it happened like this. I was able and fortunate enough to get into college to study a background in business and computer science. And once graduating, and during college, I had received internships in corporate America, which was really, you know, I feel a great blessing. And I was connected to an organization called Inroads. But when I graduated, I had the question, what makes a good life? And how am I going to keep up with these corporate men for the most part? And what I decided was I should learn how to cook and take care of my body and join a health club. So on one hand, I was sort of bought into coming from rough circumstances. I thought once I hit college and I graduate and get a corporate job, that it would kind of be easy street.
Right.
And to my surprise, in this holistic health cooking class, which I thought I signed up for, like a Julia Child creams and sauces, but that wasn't the course at all. The course ended up being called Food as Medicine, and I was able to sort of take this 3-day challenge for myself, and where I decided to follow the instructor's prescription of, you know, cooking everything from scratch and not using refined food products or sugar. And what happened to me in this process of the 3 days, I started having these flashbacks the way someone would when they're detoxing from alcohol or drugs. And I'd have these flashbacks to my childhood of the domestic violence and all the unrest that had happened in my family. And so in this feeling, I kept thinking, oh my goodness, is this food having some kind of opening or power, unearthing these horrible memories? And yet I felt that I was being shown a way that I would also have the fortitude to have the strength to confront these demons, which was really a great thing. So, but the road still, even that healing process was rocky, because everything mm-hmm. that I started to see in my mind's eye wasn't pleasant, and I didn't want to face it. And then when I took the yoga class in the health club, first of all, I was the youngest one in the class. Everyone was 2 to 3 times older than me. And
older
at that
than
time,
you.
Yeah, and everyone was white, and I was the only African-American in the class. And I couldn't do half the stuff they could do. I couldn't hold the postures for as long as they were holding them. And I started to have this feeling that, oh, this is not for me. What was I thinking? And midway through the class, I had heard a voice, which was audible, that you'll be teaching this. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, drugs run in my family, domestic violence, maybe I'm schizophrenic. And so I just really thought, oh my goodness. But the instruction of you'll be teaching this and then also get closer to your grandfather felt like a harmonious instruction. So I just followed, I continued to follow that path of where is this going to take me? And
don't you love
that
those quiet voices? Don't you
yes,
just love
yes.
those quiet voices that basically are signaling to you, no, don't go there, go there. And the quiet
yes.
voice is actually your true character that's trying to come to the surface. And it might seem ugly and funny and funky and kind of like going against everyone or everything that you think you are. But it's as if it's a very big part of the shift of the energy needed to take you to where
yes.
you're supposed to be going. I want to talk about your new book, The Healing. Tell us about
mm-hmm.
how it was inspired. What did it feel like when your pen went on that table and it was the last page of the book that said, the end?
Well, the writing The Healing was a journey in and of itself. I started out many years ago thinking I was just going to create a how-to book with recipes and yoga postures and, you know, do this, do that kind of thing. But what really ended up happening as I was teaching wellness courses and going to dinner party with friends and just talking about this journey, I kept telling the same story. And when I started taking writing classes to actually do the how-to book, I was challenged to put more of myself in the book. And so it shifted from how my experience with food and yoga was basically the two tools that were cleaning out the past and allowed me to kind of write down and make meaning of the fact that what I experienced can also be a teaching tool for others. So just as food and yoga were the tools that helped me get clear and hear that deep inner voice and to be authentic, this book is also a tool to remind me, but also for others to see maybe themselves on their path and what's authentic for them so that they can also live a life that really contributes to who they are and to the world.
Fantastic. Now, you know, you spoke earlier about your early beginnings, coming from child pregnancies, drug abuse. And, you know, people mm-hmm. in the media, we always like to kind of mention all these things, you know, like it's a big deal. And it's not a big
mm-hmm.
deal. It's because there's so many of us that have been around this environment and we don't know where to go and we don't know who to talk to and we don't know what models are out there that can inspire us to not accept this is all my life is meant to be. What was that
right.
thing that took you out of that? And it's mentioned in the book. And could you highlight a little bit about that, in which you were able to find that one thought of courage that really said, this isn't who I am?
Well, one of the things when I started understanding my past what I realized that there are these statistics that sometimes the structures and frameworks are set up so that you don't get out of poverty or your circumstances. And when I started to really look at choices that friends and family were making, they really just were cries for love. They really just wanted to release pain, and they really just wanted to be connected to themselves and others. And so, you know, I taught a workshop yesterday, and I said, I would have loved to have been a drug addict and just check out. But when I really looked at the life of drugs and poverty, that's a lot of work. It takes
it
so much effort. So I was really looking at a long-term way, which I call to be lazy. So if I put the upfront work now and have the courage to be different from what I see, perhaps it'll ease my ability in life to struggle. Perhaps I can embrace more of a joyous life and have what, you know, they call a productive struggle of really being engaged with myself and others and be able to give back to the community. Because that life of disharmony is really, it takes so much work. People think, oh, they're just, it just takes a lot of work. It takes so much work to go against yourself. It really does.
Yes. Yes, yes, and that's something many of us aren't even aware of. And, you know, holding family secrets are never an easy attempt. And in the book, you revealed some of that, or if not all. What was the reaction of your family to your decision to actually share publicly your story? I mean, what's your relationship with them today?
So you mentioned before about what was it like to get to the point of saying the end. Well, at that point, there was a pause, or I felt, oh my goodness, why can't I just get this book up and out into the world or get to the printer? And again, that soft message of, you have to show this to your family first. So I sent a good portion to my parents. They're not together, but so my dad is reading it. My mom is reading it. And my dad came back with, wow, I'm so proud of what you wrote, and I wasn't the man that I wanted to be. And I shared that comment with a friend. I said, can you believe he said that? And she said, wow, how could he say that? He's the villain, and he's on page one. But I could feel and understand that my dad was, he didn't deny these things happened, and he then could understand and communicate. He wasn't the man that he wanted to be and that he struggled. He was a victim of circumstances and wasn't making the best choices. And so that comment really allowed me to release this work into the world. And
that
my
touched
mom,
my heart.
Yeah.
That touched my heart. Yeah.
And my mom said, you know, she also didn't deny any of the content. And her response was, if this can help one other person to get out of a circumstance that's not good for them, then go with it. My older brother, he said, just be as raw as you can be. Tell the truth. My younger brother, mom and dad need to hear this. They need to know what they put us through. So I was getting some really good responses to go forward. Some family members aren't able to look at all the details, and that's okay. You know, and at this point, they didn't say don't do it. They're just not able to look at all the content because it's painful.
True, I get that. I get that. Well, it's, again, it touched me when your dad responded the way that he did. You know, and I think everyone deserves second chances, don't you?
I do, and third and fourth chances.
Yeah, and 20
you know,
and 50, however long it takes.
Right. That's right. And, you know, and I tell folks, you know, there's this deep sense of forgiveness. But forgiveness for me also doesn't mean that I can allow you to continue to hurt me. Or, you know, you create a boundary where you can role model for others and you don't have to let their pain be inflicted on you.
Got it. Love it. Now, what advice would you offer to others who are struggling with some of the issues that you pointed out in your book, such as a sense of belonging or maybe just being brought up in a very toxic environment?
Well, one is I would really encourage people to create a deep relationship with themselves. listen to, you know, who do they want to be in the world? If they were able to turn down all of the shoulds and all of the noise around, you know, marketing and products and all these things, what do they feel inside that they have that they can contribute to the world at large or to their family or to themselves, and really try to connect to that voice? The way I was able to voice was cleaning up my diet and moving my body and allowing my mind and body to be clearer so that I could hear what this journey was to be about. And because of that, my definition of success had changed. You know, the tagline here is one woman's journey from poverty to inner riches. So I've been able to celebrate the inner richness of non-material things and understand that living a life where life takes a lot of effort, but yet it doesn't feel like a chore, is a richness, an inner richness that I never want to trade. I want to be able to be engaged in the world and move and make decisions from the space of love instead of fear. You know, I feel like I like being motivated by good, deep reward as opposed to mm-hmm. the consequences. And meaning that I want to do something because I connect and love as opposed right. to, oh, I'm afraid of. And again, that's
a
really artistic.
Could you say that one more time?
Sure. Where I want to connect doing something because I feel the love mm-hmm. and that connection of love as opposed to that that fear of. And yeah, it's really, a lot of times, you know, folks will say, well, I'm doing this because I fear my family won't accept me, as mm-hmm. opposed to I'm doing this because I love who I am and my family, and I want to express myself in this way. Those are two different motivations.
Right.
And so that's where I would challenge folks to start to listen. Can you do it out of, I enjoy this and I love it, or I love the result of it, as opposed to the fear?
Beautiful. So what's next for Saida now?
Oh, well, I am doing wellness policy work within the San Francisco Unified School District. I was doing a direct service of teaching nutrition and yoga to kids and families in the community, and now we're moving into more project-based learning for kids to feel valued and belonging at school. So it's that same full circle coming back and having kids see their worth, so that they can also operate out of a love of. And a lot of our students come from, again, hard and traumatic situations, and all they need is one specific caring adult or project that they connect to transform their lives. So my feeling now is to keep getting the word out about the healing, one woman's journey from poverty to inner riches, and also role model for students in our school district and in my family. I wrote the book for my nieces and nephews so that they can kind of understand how and why we came to be.
Sure.
And so that their struggle, you know, they can understand our struggle and also develop a more productive struggle for themselves.
Well, look, congratulations and lots of good wishes. And do you know where we can get copies of the book? Is there a website?
Yes. One is I love promoting the local bookstores in your communities. They can get the book easily if they don't have it in their shops already. It is on Amazon.com. The ebook is out also. So even worldwide, if folks are tuning in, there's an ebook copy. And yeah, it's around. So please do connect to the book, and you can even search The Healing by Saida. It's on my website. Yeah, I hope folks find value and be encouraged by it, and at least be entertained.
I'm sure it'll be a life-changing read. Thank you, Saida. All the very best. And if you're ever in Washington, come by and see us.
You know, I plan to come to Washington. There's a Down Dog Yoga, and I have some family there, and I would love to connect and be in that area. So I'll reach out to you.
Please do. We would love to host you. Take good care now.
Thank you, Sister Jenna.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
So lovely, everyone. See, you can do it. You can just wake up, you can do it. And one of the things I took away from Saida's conversation is that before she released her book, she showed it to her family, knowing that she was going to reveal some deep family secrets. So in a way, she got their blessings. And that was a good thing, don't you think? Well, I certainly do. Now let's go to our long-awaited, amazing Sister Gita, who takes us to another dimension, calm. Sister Gita, what do you have for us today?
Good day to you, and an ocean of love takes one, Sister Jenna, to know one, because you're so loving yourself, and I wish you all the best, loving the self. We love others, and then others love us, true love. So taken from Daddy Janki, who has the most powerful mind in the world, the book Companion of God, and beg your pardon, Love and Relationships. She has a long topic on that. So, as you all know, and maybe we don't remember all of us, but all of us as souls, that subtle form of light that is in its pure state, when I'm in my pure state, I am peaceful, I'm loveful, I'm joyful, I am true. We all were at that stage. Entropy has come in and we have picked up certain acquired qualities that has blocked that. But we are in a very benevolent age now. We're all going to get back to that state of purity where love, you are like an ocean of love, like your sweet beloved Father who loves us so much. And when you've experienced God's love, honestly, you don't really need or depend on anyone else's love, because you have felt, by feeling God's love, you feel your own state of love. Okay, so Looking for Love, that's the title. Modern love has come out of the heart and gone into the head. This is why we have headaches, because the head, instead of the heart, has started to look for love. Poor heart has lost love and is unhappy. Whatever the age, young or old, even small children, everybody is looking for love. If you go inside of yourself as a soul, there you will discover what love is. If you look for it externally, you will need to keep on looking, because you will find only deception and sorrow at times. You have to go inside to look for love. Do remember, however you are, whatever you are, wherever you are an embodiment of purity, hence an embodiment of love. Have a loveful day. Om Shanti.
Thank you so very much, Sister Gita. Always enjoy you being on the air and leaving us with absolute jewels of love. So let's end today's show with Om Shanti Om. And remember, nobody can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are really here to love each other the same. And remember to join me in California in Sacramento for the California Vision 2020 for conversations on how California can illuminate the way to a better, an amazing America. So just go to California Vision 2020. Here is Om Shanti Om by Elizabeth Padilla.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.